Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's such a joy, it's such an honor to stand before you this evening. Thank you, pastors. I'm just humbled every time just to be able to get up here and just be in the presence of the Lord. Man, it's such a special place. It's, you know, praise God. I know it's happening down there, but it is happening up here. And, you just feel it. You just feel it. And it's just like such an honor to stand up here. I can't describe it to you. Maybe some of you have to come up here sometime. I don't know. But it's the presence of victory. It's the presence of joy. And it's truly a kingdom legacy to stand up here, you know, and just feel that the presence of victory. But it's victory in Jesus Christ, you know. And I'm just truly humbled and just sometimes overwhelmed to stand before you. But praise God. And I just want to take a few minutes and talk about Jesus. Tell you a little bit more about this good news in the hopes that we'll all continue to just get out of here and just keep on shouting, in the hopes that there'll be other testimonies that will walk out of here and that there'll be lives changed. And you won't be able to contain yourself. You're just going to want to get out and tell somebody about this good news that you experienced this evening. We need more witnesses of Jesus Christ. We need more people to talk about it. Say something. If this is something that you feel, if there's a joy that you got inside of you, if you know when you came in here tonight, there's something that I felt that was really real. I experienced victory tonight. I experienced joy. You better say something to somebody. Amen. Praise God. I'm just reading out of John chapter 8. Just a wonderful story that the Lord has put on my heart. And John chapter 8, if you can get there, beginning right there in the verse 53 of chapter 7, right at John chapter 8. And the scripture says they went each to his own house. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, all of them. They come to Jesus, and he sat down and taught them. And in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, when the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman, so what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to him, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." The message I just want to share with you briefly is mercy says yes. Praise God. Mercy says yes. I love this. This is very much about what Jesus was all about. Day after day, moment after moment, 2,000 years ago, as he walked the face of the earth and blessed us with his glory and his power and his grace and his mercy. And Jesus, in the chapter before this, I mean, he had really been accused as a deceiver. I mean, he'd been attacked and he was in Jerusalem, and it had been a tough day as he was representing the Father's love unto you and I. I mean, these people were just going after him, saying that he didn't make sense or he was doing all the wrong things. Maybe we should arrest him, you know. And Jesus just, he put up with our mess. all day long. And then scripture says that after all of the mess and the long day, and after we had called them a deceiver, and after we had literally just treated them truly as an enemy, because that's what our sin does. We become enemies with God. But in the midst of all of that, scripture says right there at the top of chapter 8 that everybody else went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. We don't really know truly where he went in the Mount of Olives, but we can assume that he probably spent time with his daddy talking about us, but not condemning us after all we've said and after all we've complained about and after all we've accused him of, because life just hasn't done us right. But yet all the while, Jesus, as we went home to go to sleep, he goes home to talk. He goes to the Mount of Olives to talk to his dad. Simply this: I love them, I love them, I love them. It's going to be a lot of work, Dad, but I love them. And they're really stubborn. They really think I'm their enemy. They're blaming me for everything, but I love them, Dad. And scripture doesn't say that he went to sleep. Maybe he prayed all night long. Maybe he was fasting and praying on our behalf. That's just the stuff that Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth, because he was all about his Father's business, that you and I would be saved through Jesus Christ. There was no time to sleep as far as he was concerned. He told that to the disciples one time. He said, no time to sleep. It's a time for me to do the work of my dad. And that's that I would save you. So he goes to the Mount of Olives. And then on top of that, then he wakes up, he gets up early in the morning and heads to the temple. Praise God. So that he would teach the word of God. Early in the morning, he gets to the temple. Thank God that his mercies are new every morning. He's not waking up frustrated with us. He's not coming into the next morning with an attitude. He's coming full of mercy, saying, yes, I love you. Mercy says, yes, I'm all about you. Mercy says, yes, I want to show you my Father's love that I have for you. He comes into the temple and he begins to teach. Jesus sits down. Of course he's going to sit down. He's got a lot to say. It's going to be a while. Man, imagine every time one of the pastors preached, or whoever was on schedule, just brought up a stool indicating we're going to be a while. I like that. Maybe a stool one time. Yeah, but there's no greater place than to be in the house of the Lord. There's no greater place to be just in the presence of Jesus. He sits down. And then the scribes and the Pharisees, and these guys show up with a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. Right there in the very act, they bring her into the temple. This very act of adultery, she's caught, she's brought in. Probably just not something she was expecting. You know, your sin will come to light. Just want you to know that. Your sin will come to light. But praise God, the very fact that our sin comes to light is simply the evidence of God's mercy, not to condemn you, but to set you free from sin. Hallelujah. And for those that you might be in here tonight, you think that your sin is a secret. It's not. God knows. God knows. Sorry. All that stuff you've had nice and set up quietly in your mind, he knows. He's all up in there. He knows. But praise God, each and every one of us, we have an appointment with Jesus. I didn't schedule the appointment, but he scheduled it with me, because he's not come to condemn us for the thoughts that are in our mind. He's not come to condemn you for your sin and for your mess. The appointed time that we have with Jesus is to set you free. Mercy says, yes, you've been called by God to be set free. Mercy says, yes, I know your mess, but I'm going to set you free. Mercy says, yes, you got a lot of stuff on your mind, but Jesus has come to set you free. See, it's the appointed time with Jesus. Men and women, they think that it's the appointed time to just do whatever they want to do, to condemn. They bring her, right? They bring her to Jesus. I mean, here's Jesus teaching with all these people sitting around, and then the Pharisees come marching in. You know, imagine them coming all in stage left, and they just bring this adulterous woman. And Jesus, it's the law of Moses that says she's supposed to be stoned. We caught her in the very act. I could see them, you know, making sure that their suit was nice and clean, tie straight, because they're men of the law of Moses. And they're simply just doing all of this in their own pride. They're not worried about her soul. They don't care about her. But in their own pride, in their own efforts to allow religion to be within their own control, for those men and women that think that if I just come in on Sunday and look good, that'll be good enough. But there's so much more to it. And what do you have to say, Jesus? Here she is. She's to be stoned. And Jesus, he's too cool for school. I mean, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God, my brothers and sisters. 100% man, but 100% God. It's amazing how we attempt so many times to, in the effort to be able to convince Jesus that we know what we're talking about. As if there's enough scriptures that I recite, maybe I'll get the respect that I believe I should have with God. And Jesus, in his kindness and mercy, ignores this mess. Scripture says he comes down. He gets down and he just writes in the ground. Now, we've often talked about what he was writing. I don't know what he was writing, but he's God. He can write whatever he wants. You know, if he wants to scribble in the ground, Jesus can scribble in the ground. So he's just writing, you know. And scripture tells us that they continue on and on. Like, what do you have to say? She's a sinner. She's a wretch. She's got ratchetness going on, as we like to say in New York. Say something, Jesus. He just kind of writes, you know. I'd like to think that he finally just kind of got fed up with the noise. Because a lot of times everything in our selfishness and in pride and our arrogance is just a bunch of noise. And so he gets up. Well, I'll tell you what. How about whoever has no sin in the bunch? Let him cast the first stone. Jesus said in such a way, right? You go ahead and do what you're going to do. But whoever has no sin, let him cast the first stone. Yeah. Whoever, whichever one of you. Yeah. Whoever has it. Whoever lived that life. You know, that life that I've lived. Whoever has no sin. Righteousness. Representing well. Oh, like me. Because there's only one that has been able to live a perfect life. There's only one that has lived life with no sin. There's only one that represents true righteousness. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I can imagine some of the young brothers with the big stones. You know, the young brothers that they've been pumping weights. They was ready for this moment. And they look over to the elders, because the very men that they looked up to are just assuming that they were always right. I know he's going to throw the stone first because he's been my role model. But there's no other role model that's greater than Jesus Christ. There's no greater example. Be careful who you set your eyes on. Set your eyes on Jesus. There's only one that has mercy for you. There's only one that has grace. There's only one Savior that went to the cross as a substitute for you and I. It's Jesus. And thank God for a little wisdom that these men had, because they recognized that moment. Wait a second. I can imagine the older ones, right? You know, the older ones, scripture says that the older ones dropped their stones first. Well, of course, they've lived longer and they've sinned longer. So their resume of sin was running a little bit longer than the young brothers. Well, the stones just dropped. The scripture says one by one, they left. They walked away. Nothing they could say. And just in the profound wisdom and glory of Jesus Christ, he didn't address the law of Moses, nor did he even address the woman who was there and her guilt of sin. He addressed their conscience. And tonight, Jesus addresses the conscience. You're not perfect. You've got some mess going on. There's some of us in here tonight, maybe we've been holding on to stones, ready to condemn somebody. And meanwhile, you and I, we're a mess in need of a Savior. And all of a sudden, they all leave. And I can imagine Jesus after he said what he said, because it's just, and that's all he needed to say was just that one sentence. It was done there. Done just like that. It's power in the word of God. You know, the scripture tells us that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, with the power to pierce into the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and to the discerning of thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. That's how powerful his word is. It cuts right into our heart, right into our mind, right into our soul. He knows the mess that we're in. He knows our wicked thoughts. He knows our pride. He knows our selfishness. He knows our shame. And yet mercy says, yes, I love you and I'm here. And when everybody else disappears and walks away from you, there's one still left. And that's Jesus. Now, I would like to take a stab at this second part of the writing of Jesus. I would love to believe that maybe he was writing into the ground the things that would become of this adulterous woman once he has set her free from sin. Woman of God, full of mercy. A life transformed by my power, my blood shed on Calvary. I'm going to take her sin from her in just a matter of time when I get to the cross. Hey, where are they? Is there anyone here to condemn you? She says, no one, Lord. She recognizes him as Lord because nobody speaks like that. Nobody has the power to step in and intervene just when I feel like I'm condemned and I'm ashamed. And no one else can step in the way of your accusers but God. No one else can step in the way of those that have condemned you and have called you out on your mess but God. He said, well, neither do I. I don't condemn you. So go. Mercy says, yes, go. Mercy says, yes, be free and sin no more. Mercy says, go. That mess that they've condemned you, I'm going to take it on myself. Yep, sin deserves death, but I'm going to the cross on your behalf. Go. Mercy says, yes, you can be free. Mercy says, yes, you can be free from addiction. Yes, you can be free from your shame. Yes, you can be free from guilt. Yes, go and sin no more. Here's why he says sin no more. Because when Jesus goes to the cross, he takes on the sin. So why in the world should you and I walk out these doors of the house of the Lord still with our sin when tonight you can recognize that he took the sin on our behalf? Why do you and I want that mess? Jesus took it to the cross. He set us free from it. The bondage of sin. Sin that chains us. Sin that burdens and keeps us weighed down. Sin that keeps the accusers and the condemners coming at your doorstep time after time after time. But yet God steps in and intervenes through his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. It was a time in my life. I walked around with my head down, waiting for people to stone me because of my sin. You know, some of us, you may know that. That feeling of just shame and guilt when you've really blown it and your mess comes to light. You just don't know where to look. You stay at home in the dark. Well, there was a time in my life, because of my mess, I was just staying at home in the dark. I just didn't want to go out. I just felt like if I run into somebody at the grocery store, they're going to stone me. I felt if I walked into church, they were going to stone me because of my sin. But I remember one time I was at a function, and I had no choice. I had to be at this particular function, and I was just, my head was down. I was like, well, somebody going to say something? Somebody going to be sarcastic and just, you know, remind me of my mess? And I was just kind of walking with my head down. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was just kind of going the way. And I was just trying to step out into the lobby. And I was on my way to actually go use the bathroom. And all of a sudden, I look up, and Pastor Carter standing right there in front of me. And I'll never forget this moment. And Pastor Carter looks at me because I had confessed all my mess and confessed my sin to him. And he goes, good man, lift your head up. Lift your head up. as soon as he said that, I was just a mess. I was like, okay. He looks back at me, and he looks back at me, and he speaks the words of Jesus over my life, and he says, no one's here to condemn you. No one's here to accuse you. You're forgiven in Christ Jesus. He has shown his mercy. You are loved. It's done. Now go. Lift your head up. Go. Be free. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. When he steps in, he demonstrates this amazing act of kindness through his son, Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. We should have been left a mess. We should have been stoned like this adulterous woman. But praise God, Jesus steps in. And he takes our place. Mercy says, yes, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Mercy says, yes, your sins have been nailed to the cross. Mercy says, yes, it's his blood that was shed on Calvary that completely brings an end to the accusations and the condemnation. Mercy says, yes. Now tonight, you say yes to mercy. Worship ministry, could you come? Mercy says yes, but you've got to say yes to mercy. You know, she could have taken off and ran. She really could have, trembling and scared. The Pharisees were gone. Everybody was gone. She could have ran, but she recognized where the source of her power would be, the source of love, the source of mercy. The place of refuge is in Jesus Christ. Could you stand with me? Here's my altar call. It's two different people that need to come before the Lord tonight and say yes to mercy. It's those that have been thrown amongst in the midst of people that have been accused and condemned and called out, and your sin has come to light. And even for those whose sin is still in the dark, it's still in the light of Christ Jesus. He knows exactly what's going on. You need to say yes to his mercy, and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to allow him to touch your life and transform your life, and you need to repent of your sins tonight. You cannot keep that mess a secret anymore. You know what stuff is going on in your personal life. You need to say yes to Jesus and come up here now. There's another group of people that need to come up here tonight. And for those of you that may think that you've been walking in righteousness, you've only been walking in religion, and you've been holding on to the stones of rage and bitterness and anger, ready to stone those that have hurt you, have disrespected you, have caused problems in your life. And it's time for you to let those stones go, and you too repent and come before Jesus, ask for his forgiveness that he might set you free. I don't know who it is, but it's somebody in here. And you need to come up tonight and say yes to mercy. That's the altar call tonight, that you would say yes to mercy. Jesus, take hold of my life. I can't live in this sin no more. I can't live in this pride anymore, in this anger. God, be real in my life. Would you come now? Just say excuse me and just get on out the aisle. Just come now and get before Jesus Christ. He's going to restore you tonight. He's going to bring healing tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's healing tonight. Praise the Lord. There's healing tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I just want you to know, as we get ready to pray, this is not a call to judgment. This is a call to mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening, confessing my sin to you. I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Thank you for going to the cross as a sacrifice for me. I repent of my sins. Make me a new creature. Transform my life. I receive your mercy. Thank you for not condemning me. But it's through your blood, your blood shed on Calvary, that I'm washed clean, set free from the bondage of sin. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for stepping in the way of all of my accusers, of those that have condemned me. I lay the stones down. Remove my pride. Take away the bitterness. Give me a new heart. Give me a new mind. Thank you, Jesus. You are the lifter of my head, the Savior of my life. In your name I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.